And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a great weekend and is doing well. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. What? Quite an eventful weekend we just had.
Quite the eventful weekend. Michelle Knezovic, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Just living the dream. Had a great weekend. Absolutely fantastic. So I'm feeling good this Monday morning.
And so is John Calipari still fired, or you're
no,
allowing
he's
him to
actually,
keep his job for a week?
Oh, he's back.
We are going to disregard anything that was said on Thursday at 7:45 last week. That was a rash reaction.
A rash rant?
That was a rash reaction. Fans, Titans fans, they understand your rash reactions now, and you got to see mine in live time.
So you're good. So Cal's good.
I'm chilling. I'm great.
New contract?
Okay.
I think Lifetime's already in there. So we're just going to ride it out. He's on probation. This win definitely helps it. But Rex Road, how was it?
He's still on double secret probation. It was a great atmosphere, and I was excited to get a good game.
So I listened to a Vols Twitter space after the game.
Oh, really?
Oh, I was doing cardio like no other, guys.
And what
was fueling the fire?
What was the gist of that? Just pure Rick Barnes sucks.
No, honestly, a lot of it talked about how Kentucky fans have no teeth. Never knew that one.
Hey, sometimes you get personal and things don't go your way, man. And you watched the college basketball game, huh?
Yeah, it'll be the last time till March. That happens.
That'll not happen again. Nope.
That's too bad, man.
It was tough to watch. It was basically everything I hate about college basketball wrapped up in one. Nobody could shoot. It was a fun time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They had a big guy who had 30 points that day. But now let's keep jacking threes up.
Yeah, it was rough. No question about it. I told Michelle after the game, I blame myself. I watched, and that was the worst Tennessee's played all year.
So is that seriously the only game you watched this year? Like, you didn't watch against Kansas or any of those games?
Don't care. Really don't.
Terrible.
Just don't.
Terrible.
Robbie cares about March.
So, SEC tournament, you'll
don't
watch
care.
Or no?
No?
No. Ridiculous.
I just don't. I've tried. I can't get there. I just can't do it.
Well, that's too bad. But, hey, I mean, they did not reward your time.
They did not.
Saturday, so.
No question.
Sure, they rewarded
it.
Yours, Joe. BBN Joe.
Well, it was fun to go over there, see Cal Tucker, you know, see how he's doing since I can't talk to him on Twitter anymore.
That's true.
See Kyle and Wes Rucker sit next to each other on press row and not speak. It was great.
Ugh, beautiful stuff to begin the show here today. We'll get more into that coming up a little bit later in the next hour. Tennessee's loss to Kentucky on Saturday and a big win for Vanderbilt as well over the weekend. We'll get into all that coming up at 7:30. Let the record show that I did voluntarily put college basketball in our show grid
today. I'm excited.
So get excited about that. We begin with wild card weekend in the National Football League. A wild card weekend that is not yet complete. One more game tonight as the Cowboys take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But a pretty interesting wild card weekend nonetheless, Joe. Especially you take a look at some of the teams that I thought just had no chance in Miami and Baltimore, given their quarterback situations heading into this game. And Miami made it a heck of a game in Buffalo. Buffalo escapes with a 34-31 win. And then last night, Cincinnati, 24-17, the final score and the game-winning touchdown on a 98-yard fumble return last night for the Bengals, which, as you've accurately pointed out, a blatant block in the back on the play for the Bengals that was just not called as they're running back.
I don't understand why more people aren't talking about this. I mean, it's, you know, because it's first down at the 25, basically. If you look at the ground Mark Andrews was making up on Sam Hubbard, he would have got him down about the 15. So the block in the back, I'm trying to think then, where would the ball have been placed if that's true? Like the block in the back actually would have – they would have been like first down at the 30.
Yeah.
Hey, they probably would have gotten points for sure. They might have gotten a touchdown for sure. But, I mean, how do you miss that? Like, I understand you're trailing the play, but he just pushed him in the back.
He's right there. I don't know.
And I'm not – you know, this is not like Ravens radio. I mean, it's just absurd. But, hey, we got a great game there. The Bills-Dolphins was stunning to me that we got that game. And then the most stunning was what the heck happened to the Chargers.
Yes, it was. 27-0 the score in that game. It's 27-7 at half. Trevor Lawrence threw four picks, and they come back and win the game 31-30 in the second half. It's a lesson in a couple of different things. Number one, that's why you want to get in the playoffs, because you never know what's going to happen once you get in there. Number two, man, if that's not the most L.A. Chargers thing I think I've ever seen on Saturday night, watching them just blow that lead. He choked it away after it. There's no reason to lose that game when you're up 27-0. And they just totally choked it away on Saturday night. It was unbelievable.
It really was. And, yeah, all credit to – yeah, credit to Trevor Lawrence, because it was a nightmare. And, you know, it's another lesson in this is, I guess, basically just wait till the end of the game to tweet, because, you know, it was like, oh, here we go. The fraudulence of Trevor Lawrence on display for all.
Yep.
And good for him for hanging in there, because he was great in the second half. He had to be. And like you said, the Chargers just collapsed.
That Doug Peterson 4th-and-1 call?
That's pretty
absolutely
good.
Loved that.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. No, I mean,
that guy's not afraid to make some calls. No question.
No.
In big games.
Yeah. Look, good for them. I mean, I know for Titans fans, it's, whether they got blown out that night or whatever happens from here, you know, it's not going to change next year. You know, they're going to be probably the favorite, and you're going to see if you can get back to being able to compete with them. But in the meantime, you got to bear with watching them for another week. I don't think you're going to have to watch them after this week, but I don't know. Go out there, house money, you know?
Yeah.
Little Trevor Mahomes. And Trevor Lawrence has never lost on Saturday.
Yeah, there's that. There is that. My immediate thought after the game was, man, that's a tough way for Brandon Staley to go out as head coach of the Chargers. I mean, no move's been made yet, and he does, to his credit. There's, you know, Herbert's talked about it, I think. Joey Bosa was talking about Brandon Staley and the incredible leader that he is and all these different things. I have no idea if they're going to make the move or not, but when that happened, my first thought was, yeah, he's going to get fired, and Sean Payton's going to be the next coach of the Chargers.
Yeah, there is some, you know, there's some people who cover them who are like, this ownership, if you know their history and what they have invested in him, they're not going to fire him. But so we'll see. Maybe they won't. Sean Payton is hoping that's incorrect, because he's all ready to move into the office. He's got his stuff outside the building. and speaking of Bosa, I do feel for him. He was right. Now, that false start non-call.
Yeah.
There was a couple of those. There was one in the Vikings-Giants game yesterday, too, that Giants false start. That I'm like, how the heck are they missing it? Just the officiating, man.
It's got to be better.
I'm sorry. Like, I know no, you can't expect a perfectly officiated game ever. But some of these mistakes are just like, it's right there in front of you.
How about the Giants pulling off the upset, 31-24 on the road, taking down Minnesota. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings at home, 13-4 in the regular season and 1-done in the playoffs with Daniel Jones and the Giants going in and getting the victory on the road.
Yeah, well, first of all, the Giants, and we've seen it some this year, but you're really watching that game closely, I think they're – play calling and their scheming and offensive court, all that whole thing, like, it's almost San Fran level good.
Yeah,
that was such an absolute butt whipping of one side, the offensive coaching for the Giants and the defensive coaching of the Vikings. It was like, it was inevitable. As soon as they got rolling, like, they were going to just go down the field every time. And like, they look, Daniel Jones, man, I mean, Daniel Jones. It's really interesting because, of course, the Giants didn't commit to him, and I totally understand why. I think you have to now, right?
He looks pretty good.
I mean, he's super athletic, but he's figured some things out in terms of extending plays and then getting the ball downfield. I'm impressed with that guy. I am really impressed with that guy. It's a heck of a story with the Giants. Think about the Giants beating the Titans in the opener and what we thought that meant, and look at them now. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people would want to blame this all on Kirk Cousins, which is fine. Blame it all on him. He did not motivate his defense enough to ever get a stop. I will say that, you know, Cousins throws short of the sticks on the last play, so that's going to be talked about a lot. You can't do it. But
He was 31 of 39 for 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he had a tremendous day.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were a couple drops in there, and he wasn't perfect. And the Vikings this year have been like, they win all the close games or they get destroyed.
Yep.
So this is their first one-score loss, and they had, I think, an NFL record 11 one-score wins this year. So there's regression for you. It might lead to a better second weekend. I mean, Giants at Eagles, I think actually could be interesting. If that's what we have. We don't know if that's the matchup. Tonight will tell us that.
I think it's a matchup either way. Right?
No, yes, it is.
Because it's the 4-5 tonight. So the lowest seed's going to go to the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
So it's Giants.
Yeah, we have Giants Eagles.
Giants Eagles next week.
Okay, listen, I think the Giants could pull that off.
I think they could.
Yeah.
I think they could. They're going to have to play really well. You know, sometimes that team gets the break and they don't play their best, as we've seen recently in this city.
As we know.
Yes, we have. The most amazing part about the Giants to me is, like, other than Darius Slayton, I'm like, who are these guys that he's throwing the ball to? Like, Isaiah Hodgins. Way to go, buddy.
Eight catches,
105 yards yesterday. Like, who is he throwing the ball to? Imagine if he had some, you know, receivers.
Like, Galladay. Wasn't Galladay out there a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I think I saw him make a couple plays. Yeah, exactly. Give them a receiver. Give him a receiver. Barkley is tremendous.
Oh, no question. But it's the receiving core. It's just like, man. Good for you, Daniel Jones, out there slinging the ball around. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. We'll look ahead to the final game of Wild Card Weekend coming up tonight and also get to the latest on the Tennessee Titans front as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning discussing Wild Card Weekend. Joe, we know the matchups for the AFC Divisional Round. Going to be the Chiefs and the Jaguars coming up next weekend, and then the Bills and the Bengals in the Divisional Round. So, number one, Bills-Bengals is very exciting to me. I think that could be an awesome game. I'm hoping that the Chiefs-Jags game could be too. I mean, we'll see. Trevor Lawrence, if he's at the top of his game, maybe that turns into a good one. But just on the surface, I'm very excited for Bills-Bengals. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, Bills-Bengals, probably the headliner. Cowboys-Niners, if that's what we get. I mean, I know people love Brady, and that's fine. He's the GOAT. But if you're a general NFL fan who doesn't have a dog in the fight, do you actually want Bucks to win tonight instead of the Cowboys? I mean, again, if you don't hate the Cowboys, a lot of people hate the Cowboys. Don't you think Cowboys-Niners is just a way more attractive
I think Cowboys
game?
Are better. So I want the best game.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not convinced we're going to get it, but I think they're better.
Yeah, and we may not. Yeah, we may not. I mean, the Cowboys have a lot to – but this is the pressure on them is massive. But I feel like if they do – win this game, and I think they will win this game tonight, but I mean, I could totally see them squandering it, but if they do win, then I think you remove some of that pressure and you might have a really good Cowboys-Niners game. My Seahawks hung for a half, man. For a half, I was like, yes, and then
quickly evaporated.
Ooh, boy, did that go away. Yeah.
It did.
They had a nice
Purdy.
Half. Yeah. I tell you, man, I mean, it's not just like scheme and, you know, receivers and everything. I mean, he's making some plays out there.
He made some plays out there.
Yeah.
Well,
he's impressive.
Somebody brought this up, like, and I'd have to go back through like the lists and think about how many times a player has been picked up in the middle of the season via trade and the impacts that they've had. There's not a ton to choose from because the NFL traditionally hasn't been a big, hey, go trade for this guy in the middle of the year league. But, I mean, the impact that Christian McCaffrey's had on that group is pretty darn big. Like, they were good without him. And then they get him and just the different things that he can do. I think he might be in the perfect situation for him.
I think, yes. And I think they have the best top to bottom skill, right? Because Elijah Mitchell's still good. That's a great contrast now. I mean, you got the absolutely ridiculous tight end, and then you have Samuel and you have Ayuk. And by the way, Juwan Jennings will make some plays for you.
Yeah,
no, it's
they have an offensive line that can block.
Right. And then also a ridiculous defense. Yes. So.
A lot going right for the San Francisco 49ers. There's no question about that. So the Cowboys and the Bucs tonight. And by the way, Jerry Jones has made it seem like Mike McCarthy's not on the hot seat. Doesn't matter how this game goes tonight, if they win, if they lose. I mean, Jerry Jones was on the radio last night and said, quote, "I don't need to go into all the pluses or minuses, but I've got a lot more to evaluate Mike McCarthy on than this playoff game." Another report came out over the weekend that the feeling is that Mike McCarthy is safe either way. You buy that tonight?
No, I think what Jerry Jones is doing is like, all right, how can I take some pressure off my coach so he doesn't suck and blow this game? And then if he does suck and blow this game, you fire him.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going to happen. But, hey, it's worth a shot, Jerry. And if they win, we'll never know.
That's true.
If they win, then Jerry will have been a masterful play, and we'll just move forward. And I think if they win this game, then he probably would be okay. But, the thing with all this is that makes it different is Peyton.
Yeah.
I mean, if you believe Sean Peyton is an elite coach, and he will certainly tell you he is, I think he's pretty good, then that's the thing that changes this whole coaching situation with some of these teams. It's like there's firing someone, and then there's – or do you want it, like, how much do you covet this free agent who's out there floating around?
Well, that's the thing. Like, even with the Chargers, right? Like, the Chargers, obviously, they spent a lot of money. You've got Justin Herbert. You get put out of the first round of the playoffs this year. And it's not only did you get put out of the first round of the playoffs, but the way you got put out, like, makes me think that maybe Staley could be in some trouble. How much more added trouble is he in if they think they can get Sean Payton? Like, just the idea of you think you could be the one to land Sean Payton, how much does that push either Chargers ownership, or if the Cowboys lose tonight, does it push Cowboys ownership over the top? Now, along with the reports that Mike McCarthy is apparently safe regardless of the outcome tonight, there are other reports that came out over the weekend that says that Sean Payton is not even considering Dallas as a possibility because he doesn't think anybody's going to get fired. Now, again, that could be a whole lot of smoke and mirrors going on, and things could change after tonight. But the way it's seeming right now, Joe, is Mike McCarthy's going to be back. We'll wait and see what happens on that front.
Yeah. I mean, again, they go out there. I mean, you know, Jerry's been known to make an impulsive move or two. So even if he's talked himself into that, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it if they blow it tonight. This is a big one. Like, Dax – future too. I mean, he's had a lot of injuries, so that's one thing.
Yep.
And of course, this year he's just been a pick machine. I still think he's a good whatever. What tier is he? I guess whatever. He's in the he's in the top 12 to 14, yeah, court, something like that. Right. He's not like a top five, but still, like, you can win with him. But like, you have to win with him in this game. And I think if he doesn't give the Bucs the ball, they will win tonight. But how confident are you that he won't give the Bucs the ball?
I mean, it's a great question, and you know, Tampa Bay, I don't think they're that good. I mean, they got in the playoffs because they play in a sorry division. That's why they're in the playoffs. But it is Tom Brady, and it is guys like Mike Evans who have played in big games, won big games before. I still look at their defense and say, all right, I know these guys have some ability out there. I'm really interested to see how this one goes tonight. Like, this is — I said it heading into the weekend, this is the most intriguing game to me of the whole weekend. I'm fired up for a little Monday Night Football night, even though I don't like Monday Night Football in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's fair. Let's see. So, do we know the day of – so the Niners played Saturday.
Saturday.
Right? Yeah. I mean, the Niners played Saturday, and they're going to get to play a team that plays Monday night.
Yeah. I would assume their game will be Sunday.
Yeah.
They've not came out and announced that yet, I don't think.
The NFC, but we don't have the days, even though we have one of the games.
Right.
We don't know Giants-Eagles.
No. But, okay. I mean, I would assume.
Got to be, right?
It would be Sunday. But
what if it's Saturday?
Yeah, I mean,
if the TV people are so in charge that, like,
bring me Cowboys-Niners.
We prefer that on Saturday. But either way, I mean, it's a two-day difference. You can't have that.
Not in the playoffs. It doesn't feel right.
No, and obviously you've had one day differences plenty over the years.
Of course,
that's you can't avoid that. But the 2 day difference is too much.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how that goes tonight. And then, like you said, we already know it's going to be Giants and Eagles in the playoffs. We know all the matchups except one next weekend, in divisional weekend. Bills, Bengals, going to be a doozy, I think, in Buffalo. You've got the Chiefs and the Jaguars, the Giants taking on the Eagles on the road, and it'll be either the Cowboys or the Buccaneers going on the road to take on the San Francisco 49ers. Honestly, Joe, the way that San Francisco has been playing, I don't really care who wins this game tonight. I think San Francisco is going to win. I think they're really good. Like, they just seem like the most complete team to me.
They do. I mean, they are a team that has a chance to add another one to the – you don't have to have, you know, one of those top absolute quarterbacks to win it all in this league. I mean, we'll see if they can actually complete it, because I could see Mahomes also just taking them down in the getting his revenge. But long way from that. Should I read Skyler from Charlotte on the – can I read this one?
Sure. Since,
yeah. Okay. What is wrong with the refs? They are game-changing missed calls or game-changing calls on no penalty plays. Do any of these games not look scripted to any of you guys? !! From penalties to these incredible comebacks, honestly, are y'all paid to not talk about it as well? Yes, Skyler. We're all in on a huge conspiracy here. Like, the scripting of that play, the 98-yard, it was like, now you jump real high, you know, hold the ball up high, and then he's going to pop it out. Now, Sam Hubbard, you are going to stand at the 2-yard line. The ball's going to come right to you, okay? I mean, can you please
think about
these things?
And
run
Marcus
down
gonna
there,
get pushed.
And you're going to get blocked in the back at about the 18-yard line.
Yeah,
have fun with that.
I mean, they're not going to call that.
Right. I mean, like, I don't know if you're serious, Skyler, but I see all the punctuation. And I'm like, wow, I think this is a serious question. Here's the thing: if everything was scripted, we would never have a blowout, right? We actually had two games closer than I thought, but we had a blowout too. That San Fran Seahawks game, they sucked at scripting that one. Everybody tuned out in the second half. It was garbage game. Yep. Terrible scripting by the NFL.
By the way, Johnny has pointed out, and I am seeing this now, the San Francisco game will be Sunday night, regardless of who wins tonight. So,
Okay. So we hit. So then Giants Eagles is primetime Saturday.
Yeah,
yeah. This is the best week of football right here. It's like, the best week of pro football is coming up.
It's pretty good. Ken on the text line says, "Do we even know how good of a coach Sean Payton is? His entire tenure at New Orleans was with Drew Brees." This is from Ken on the text line.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
it's a fair question.
It is a fair question. Look, I think he is good. I think he got the most out of Drew Brees. Not that Drew Brees isn't great, but I thought that it was a great pairing.
Yes.
Of coach and quarterback, and they had other great players too. But it's like right now people are talking about Belichick, right? Wow, he's okay without Brady.
Yep.
Before that, he was sub 500 without Brady. It's still more about players than anything, and the script writers.
Speaking of the script writers and the plays and the play callers, interesting developments on the Titans front as it relates to their search for offensive coordinator. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So an eventful weekend in the world of the National Football League. We've discussed the wild card matchups. One more coming tonight between the Cowboys and the Bucks. But an interesting weekend as well as it relates to the Tennessee Titans and a report that was put out there, I believe, yesterday morning by Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. It says, quote, "The Tennessee Titans have requested permission to interview Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy and senior assistant/quarterbacks coach Matt Nagy for their open offensive coordinator job per sources." So that put out there by Jeremy Fowler. Josina Anderson later put out, quote, "I'm told the Titans' requests for both Bieniemy and Nagy are not recent. Interest was established over a week ago. I'm told Bieniemy is focused on head coaching opportunities and Nagy has yet to confirm Tennessee's request per league source." So that was kind of the latest information on the Eric Bieniemy, Matt Nagy situation yesterday. What do you make of the idea of the Titans requesting permission to interview Eric Bieniemy as their offensive coordinator, along with Matt Nagy from Kansas City? What does that kind of signal to you about this offensive coordinator search that the Titans are embarking on?
Well, it seems to me the discussion we had about, does it have to be, you know, someone from the Shanahan or what do you want to call it system? Apparently no, because this would be, you know, this is a departure from that, the Kansas City offense. And for the, one of the first things I thought of is, like, imagine Derrick Henry in that offense. It's kind of hard to. Doesn't really work. Like, you basically, that offense, you have to have, like, a mini receiver at running back in that offense. I mean, obviously, like, you know, Kareem Hunt had success running the ball. Now, it's not like they don't run the ball, but, like, I can't imagine Derrick Henry in that offense.
Yeah.
Really. You know, it doesn't really fit him. The fact that they requested two guys from that offense kind of, right? Kind of tells you they're at least keeping an open mind. Which, again, I think it's good to keep an open mind and to just have a blank slate and say what's the way to go. And it's interesting, the Bieniemy thing. I totally get that too. Of course, he's a guy who has not been able to get a head coaching job. I do think that there's a you could talk him into the idea of go somewhere else where, like, you're not with Andy Reid, where, like, all the guys who go through there. I mean, obviously Nagy failed badly with the Bears, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like this, okay, it's Andy Reid's baby, and then the OC is with him and does stuff, but it's not the same thing. If you went somewhere and you were, like, the OC for a defensive head coach and you called the plays, that could benefit you, right? Could separate you from just being another one of Andy Reid's guys.
Mm-hmm.
But – yeah, I also, if I was talking him out of it, I'd be like, but you want to coordinate that group of players? Do you think that's going to help you?
Yeah.
Because they can't block and they can't get open.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, one of the first questions people were asking when this report came out from Jeremy Fowler was, well, why would Eric Bieniemy make a lateral move going from offensive coordinator from the Chiefs to offensive coordinator of the Titans? Now, as has been pointed out by multiple people since then, and I agree with this, it's not really a lateral move if you're the one calling the plays, right? Like, he would be calling the plays here. He's not calling the plays in Kansas City.
Which, yeah, like, basically just like LaFleur coming over here.
Right.
Matt, not Mike, but Matt, who was not the play caller with the Rams.
Exactly. So it is a different role if you're the one calling the plays here, if you're Eric Bieniemy. Now, the report that Josina Anderson put out there, like, if he's still – looking for head coaching jobs and focusing on that, I mean, yeah, go focus on head coaching jobs. If you don't get it, like, I do wonder, would you have any openness to that if you're Eric Bieniemy? He's not gotten head coaching jobs in the past, like you pointed out, and he's stayed there with Kansas City. Why would you not when you have that offense and that machine that you're rolling with? But I do wonder, like, an opportunity to call plays, would Bieniemy be open to that? That aside, regardless of what Bieniemy would decide to do in that situation, I think this is really interesting for the Titans that they're even considering this. Because to your point, it signals to me that they're at least open to the idea of changing up the way that their offense is run. And I don't know if that necessarily has to mean that you're changing up a ton of the personnel in terms of the quarterback and the running back. But like you said, if it's the same system that the Chiefs have been running that you would be interested in if you're the Titans – like, is Derrick Henry really a part of that? I don't know. It's hard to imagine.
Like, I feel like Derrick Henry can, in anything, if you have Derrick Henry, you should be able to find a way to use him.
Of course.
But, yeah, watch the Chiefs play. It's very much, obviously, it's a very wide-open offense, a very creative offense, very pass-heavy, and very much, like, again, it's like you need a third-down back most times out there with what they have their backs doing. So that's a really interesting thing. You know, Nagy, I've seen some Titans Twitter gnashing of teeth about Nagy. Nagy gnashing. Thank you. But, you know, here's the thing. People fail as head coaches,
yeah,
which he did with the Bears. But that doesn't mean that they're not a good coordinator, right? I mean, some people are just – like, they fit best as a coordinator, and he was successful. Again, it still goes into the whole Andy Reid thing. You know, it's like Belichick's assistants. How many of them have really been good, you know, as head coaches? It's been a struggle.
Not a ton.
So I get that, but at the same time, I wouldn't hold his head coaching tenure against him. It doesn't mean he couldn't be a good coordinator for you.
Yeah, the guy that comes to mind that – it's a different situation because it was the other side of the ball. But, like, you know, Wade Phillips is a head coach. Wasn't great. Pretty darn good defensive coordinator out
there.
Yeah.
Norv Turner.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's plenty of people who just, it just, you know, one side and you're the head coach of that side of the ball and you're really good at that. Whereas when you expand it to everything else, it, you know, some people, it just, that's just not their bag.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought that that report was really interesting. Like, if, let's say the Titans found a way to, you know, the head coaching process continues to go here, and for whatever reason, Eric Bieniemy continues to not have a head coaching job. If he's open to that and you make that hire, how would Titans fans feel? Like, if Eric Bieniemy is the next offensive coordinator of the Titans, how are you feeling about that if you're a Titans fan? I mean, it's interesting to me. Number one, I'd be really fascinated to see, regardless of where it is, how he would do as a play caller. Because you always do wonder, like, obviously he's a part of their success there. He's in charge of the game plan, and, you know, he's in there with Andy Reid devising things up with Patrick Mahomes in that offense.
Ring around the posy.
Ring around the posy.
Ring around the rosy?
Yeah, I wonder whose idea that was. I think it's Rosy.
And pocket full of posies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was still, I think, the most wild football play I've seen on a NFL field.
I mean, that alone, you know, that alone should, like, give him a $200,000 raise.
It really should. It's pretty awesome. But, like you said, people are always going to say, well, it's Andy Reid calling the plays. It's Andy Reid's offense. What would it look like if he got the chance to call plays somewhere?
Yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, and of course, that's a lot of it would be about that. Okay, what is his play call? You don't know yet, so let's find out. But also, I would have to think that any NFL fans with a struggling offense would be intrigued by having just an offense that looks like that one, right?
Yes.
And I understand that offense looks like it does in part because of the guy running around making ridiculous plays.
Yes.
There's no doubt. But the creativity of that offense, I mean, the red zone plays and just overall, it's magical at times to watch that thing. So I would think there'd be some excitement just about that scheme here. And for people who, and I think it's overstated, the Titans have always been the same thing, grinded out team and all that stuff. I mean, this would definitely be a departure from that.
Jared from Spring Hill on the text line says, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, no way I'm coming here. That's an easy life in Kansas City. And I get that. I hear it. And they could very well go on to win another Super Bowl this year. So I understand that. It's a good situation to be in if you're Eric Bieniemy and you're not going to be a head coach. But I think it's pretty clear he wants to be a head coach. So is the path to getting there just continuing to bide your time year after year after year with Andy Reid and that offense? Maybe it is. But could you make the argument that the path to getting there quicker is going somewhere else, being in charge of the play calling, doing a good job, and then kind of forcing your way through the door at that point with the job that you've done? I don't know.
Right. I mean, if he came here to a broken offense, a terrible offense, got things turned around, proved to be a good play caller, yeah, he would have a much stronger case. People could no longer say, yeah, you know, Andy Reid, all those guys just kind of, you know, they help out, they do the busy work, and then Andy's the wizard, you know. So
and he's eating cheeseburgers during the week over there, and they put all the stuff together, and then Andy calls the plays.
And then he, brings it all together with the magic wand. Yeah, no, I think you can make that case to Bieniemy. But, again, the case against it is, are you going to turn it around? Like, who's their GM?
That's the thing.
What's their GM going to – what is he like? You know, what's he – I mean, like, there's so many questions for anybody OC looking at the Titans right now. They need to hire a GM.
Yeah. I think that's going to have to be done pretty soon. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you make of the report over the weekend that the Titans have reached out to Eric Bieniemy and Matt Nagy from the Kansas City Chiefs for possibly filling the role as offensive coordinator, at least being interviewed for offensive coordinator here with the Tennessee Titans? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Discussing the report that Jeremy Fowler put out there over the weekend from ESPN, the Titans have requested permission to interview Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy and senior assistant slash quarterbacks coach Matt Nagy for their open offensive coordinator job. And Josina Anderson also putting it out there that as of right now, Bieniemy still focusing on trying to land a head coaching job after he's done in the playoffs with the Chiefs. And Nagy has not yet confirmed his interview with the Titans. So no movement on that front yet. Just reported that the Titans are apparently interested.
A lot of people who are just like, oh, Titans, hey, thanks for reaching out. I'm kind of busy, and let me get back to you on that, okay? Getting turned down, man.
Yeah, I guess so. Zach from Nashville in the text line says, not having Derrick Henry wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. This year he was more of a crutch than anything else because Robinson/injuries left Vrabel with no one else to lean on. Hire a Kansas City guy, trade Henry, sign Kareem Hunt, and the offense jumps into this decade. This from Zach from Nashville on the text line.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of stuff.
That is.
Do you have to have Kareem Hunt?
Does it have to be him specifically?
I mean, he's good.
He's a good player.
Still good.
Yeah.
He had his day for sure in that offense. I don't know about him having to be a part of it, but well, so let's say one of these guys is the choice.
Okay.
And again, I don't think this signals that Vrabel's like, this is what offense we have to run. Maybe it is, but I think it more signals just having an open mind, talking to different people. That's what it should be. I think that's great. But let's say it is one of these guys. Are you going to pay Derrick Henry? He's going to have – I mean, I would say he'd have a reduced role. It's not like there aren't running plays in their offense, right? I mean, every offense has run scheme, you know. So, like, they could still run the football with this offense.
Yep.
But would you pay Derrick Henry? Would you keep paying him 10-point whatever it is in this – last year of his contract to be in that offense?
That's a great question. And you brought up on the other side of things, like if I'm Eric Bieniemy and I'm leaving Kansas City to come be your offensive coordinator and play caller, I mean, I would want to know, all right, specifically, who is my quarterback? Who is my running back? Who are the receivers? Like what's the plan here? And
do you have any offensive linemen?
Do you have any offensive linemen? Like I'd want to know all those things. And again, you know, I don't know specifically what their timetable is going to be when they're trying to hire an offensive coordinator, but doesn't it kind of feel like you need the GM in place too to have those plans? I mean, you don't necessarily have to have the GM in place to hire an offensive coordinator because at the end of the day, I think the offensive coordinator hire will be and should be Mike Vrabel's decision. So, I mean, it's his coaching staff, but like if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I want to know what the plan is for your roster before I decide whether or not to take that job.
Big time. Yeah, without question. By the way, Derrick Henry, the cap hit is 16.4.
Yeah.
So, base salary is 10.5. The cap hit with what they did with his bonus, you know, he got a $5.4 million bonus. So, that's a big cap hit.
That's a big cap hit.
You know? So, that's a very interesting thing with him. And as far as Tannehill in that kind of offense, you know, I think any quarterback would probably look at that offense and say, yes, let me at it.
Yep.
But again, who am I throwing to and all that stuff. Now, we did see that offense in the Super Bowl a couple years ago be completely just squashed into the ground because they couldn't block the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
It was awful to watch.
It eventually comes down to that.
Yeah. The line of scrimmage, no matter what your scheme is, kind of important.
Even with Patrick Mahomes being like horizontal to the ground.
And throwing yeah, making passes. Ridiculous throws. But yeah, like he seriously was running for his life after every snap.
It was unbelievable to watch. Andrew on the text line says, speaking of GM interviews, are they complete? Any thoughts on when we might hear something? I mean, it's an interesting question. They've completed some to this point. My question would be like, is there going to be anybody that Amy Adams Strunk wants to continue to interview as this process goes on? I mean, she said it originally, like if they got to wait until the Super Bowl is complete, they'll wait until the Super Bowl is complete to do it. But I would assume like you want to get this done pretty quickly here. I mean, there's a draft coming up. There's a whole lot of things you got to get ready for if you're the Titans.
Yeah. So I look to me, it's like if they got it done at the end of this week, that'd be smart. That'd be good. Yeah, look, there certainly could be someone you have to hold out for, but I feel like there's a little bit of urgency here that if you feel like you got a good candidate or two among the people you've talked to, you might want to seriously consider hiring one of those people. You know, I'm not saying like, you know, that if you feel like you're settling, don't settle.
Right.
But you should be feeling some urgency right now to get this done if you're the Titans.
Jason from Mount Juliet on the text line says, I think Nagy will wait to see if Bieniemy gets a head coaching job and then step into offensive coordinator with KC. That very well could happen. Like, if Bieniemy does get a head coaching job, like, if you're Nagy, you're like, well, okay, I'll just go be the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – and if you're Nagy, it's kind of like, you know, like, I don't know moving forward, you know, what his head coaching – because he can go in there and they can light up the world with him as OC. We've seen him as a head coach, you know. So I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know if that necessarily would help him to be the OC there. It wouldn't change, right? It wouldn't change anything. But it would be it's a good gig.
Sure.
I mean,
you'll take it.
Yeah. As long as you've got the head coach and the quarterback who are there, that's a good gig.
I got a text that says, "Has anybody requested to interview Todd Downing yet?" LOL. Well. Good news is you don't have to request to interview him anymore. He's out there on the open market.
That is true. Yeah, he'll end up – he'll be somewhere next year.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, someone's tight ends coach, I'd imagine.
That would be my guess.
Yep.
Somewhere around the league. But don't have to request to interview him for offensive coordinator. I feel confident in saying Todd Downing will not be an offensive coordinator anywhere next year.
But what are you all going to do without Todd Downing to – I mean, I guess you can keep making Todd Downing jokes now
Good.
That he's gone. But, yeah, I don't know. You're going to have to find someone else to rip on all the time.
I'm really interested to see how this plays out. If it doesn't work out with Bieniemy and Nagy, and like I said, Josina Anderson put out the report that according to her and her sources, apparently Bieniemy's still focused on getting a head coaching job somewhere, and Nagy has not yet responded. Now, one thing that I did find interesting about the Josina Anderson report is, and let me find the exact wording that she put out there with the Titans. It said, I'm told Bieniemy is, or excuse me, the interest in Bieniemy and Nagy are not recent. Interest was established over a week ago. And I was like, huh, that was yesterday when that tweet came out, over a week ago. That was the day after they lost to Jacksonville and Todd Downing hadn't been fired yet. So interesting.
That's a good point. Hey, I know we have an OC, but just seeing if you want to like, get some coffee sometime.
I just found the wording on that by Josina Anderson to be pretty interesting.
Look at you go, Robbie.
It was Sunday morning, and she was like, yeah, over a week ago, this was interested from the Titans.
Do we need to play the Pink Panther Inspector Clouseau music for Robbie?
So.
Jared is jealous right now.
I'm just trying to connect dots.
Sleuthing.
All I'm doing is reporting what the tweet said.
Halftime of that game. Eric, can you zoom in and call some players for us?
Rapels in the bathroom at halftime. Like, hey, Eric, we might need your help.
And if you're not available, can you see if Matt – are you near Matt? Is Nagy near you? Can you see if he can help us out? Yeah, that is interesting. But even if it's, like, immediately after the game,
yeah,
it also tells you, like, these guys are like, hey, yeah, just can I just block the Titans' number?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if you got my last text, but still love to talk to you. Give me a call.
Well, if that report is accurate and the Titans had reached out about this like over a week ago, it still makes Vrabel getting up there at the podium that much better. Of like, yeah, you know, gonna have a conversation with the coaching staff. We'll continue to evaluate the coaches this week.
Yeah,
goes to lunch. Hey, Todd, we'll see you, man. Appreciate you. Good stuff.
Yeah. Or goes to lunch and Amy calls him.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what did you say? You're going to take the week? You say the week? How about take the 5 minutes?
Right now.
Take one more bite of your sandwich.
Chris on the text line says, does anyone think one of the new GM's first moves in his tenure is going to be to trade Henry? I don't think that's going to happen given how Henry is viewed in Nashville. I think that's going to start the GM off on the wrong foot with the fans. But you know the fans' opinion doesn't matter. This is from Chris on the text line.
Well, here's the thing, Chris. I think you're right that there's a lot of sentiment there and that people wouldn't be happy. But if you're the GM and you worry about that, you're screwed. You can't be a GM.
Agreed.
You can't do your job that way, you know? I mean, it happens all the time in this league. And honestly, the teams that get out in front of things a lot of times are the teams that have success. And so I agree. I mean, look. Fans would be – it would be, I think, devastating for a lot of people in LA. I mean, I'd love to see Derrick Henry personally you know, have another year here and see what he can do, because he is building a Hall of Fame resume. But if you're the GM, that stuff can't be anywhere in the equation. You know, you have to have a plan and go execute it, and it is possible that Derrick Henry's not part of it.
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's that time of the year. We talked about the Bucs-Cowboys game earlier, and depending on how that game goes, there could be wild speculation on the quarterback front starting tomorrow, given the outcome of that game. And yesterday, a very prominent member of the media included the Tennessee Titans in the Tom Brady discussion. We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.